our service to the Lord and our obedience to the Lord, we come to the definition of the family, and we look at the family, and the family is under assault today. So you're probably wondering, why is he doing a sermon out of John chapter 1 on the family? So follow me here, and then you'll understand, because the family is God's design. It's his idea. It's not man's idea. And so if we ever are going to see our families succeed and our families work right, we're going to have to follow God's idea. So if you'd stand for the reading of God's word, and I highly recommend to all of us that we learn and that we teach at least these first 14 verses of the book of John, John chapter 1, to our children, to our grandchildren, and learn them ourselves. And it will be a great defense for you to keep you on track in many ways, not just with the family, but in multiple ways. Everything stems from the Lord and from the gospel. So here we go, and the title of the message is Returning the Home Back to God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And he came to his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Powerful verses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We pray today, God, that you would illuminate our heart, that you would shine the light of your Word into our heart, that we might better comprehend you, and God, that we might better understand the principle behind the family. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You might have heard this before, but there's a story that's been told that Arnold Palmer was invited to a convention of blind golfers. And the golfers told which way that they would hit the ball. And he's saying, now, how can you know where to hit the ball if you can't see the ball? And so one of the golfers says, well, Arnold, the way we do it is I just let my caddy go to the hole in the fairway. He goes down there to the flag at the hole, and he rings this little bell, and I hit the ball towards the little bell. And Arnold was amazed by that, and he said, well, does it work very well? And he says, sure, it works great. He says, it works so well, I would be willing to take you on and around a golf, and to spice things up a little bit and to make it interesting, I'll even bet you $10,000 that I can beat you in a round of golf. Well, Arnold Palmer's thinking, you know, I know that bell theory, maybe that works, but he can't beat me. I'm a pro. He can't beat me in a round of golf. So he took him up on his bet, and Arnold Palmer finally says, you know, what time is tee off? And the blind man says, 10:30 tonight. Well, I think the problem is, in the family, we are trying to define our family today and operate our family today in the darkness. And the family was never intended to operate in the darkness. It's intended to operate in the light. And so if it's God's idea of a family, we need to follow his principles for the family. If you notice the title, I titled it Returning the Home Back to God. Today, society knows nothing about the family because they know nothing about the one who created the family. Satan is attacking the family in America today. I am ashamed of how far America has fallen victim to Satan's lies concerning the home. We all see the attack of family. It's not hidden. It's in our face. And it's a lie from Satan being accepted by politicians and even many churches and denominations. And it's past time that we return our homes to God.
Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 is the recipe for how God will heal a land. I don't know if y'all have noticed the many targets of evil right now. We see Israel being targeted of evil. We see the family being targeted of evil. And we see gender being targeted of evil. And you say, I don't like this. I don't like what I see, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how I should respond. The way you respond as Christians, as believers, you accept the biblical definition for all three of these. You accept what the Bible says, and you teach it to your kids, and you teach it to your grandchildren. Because the problem when we're trying to raise our families in the dark is if we're not careful and we don't have a good understanding of the model and the understanding of Scripture and the purpose of family, through temptation we will begin to compromise. We will begin to accept just to get along. Oh, well, you know, they've passed, made this legal, made that legal. Oh, well, I mean, that's what the politicians tell us we need to do. That's what TV's telling us we need to do. That's what the culture's telling us we need to do. So I'll just accept it. Let me tell you, there's nothing that will destroy a nation quicker than the breakdown of the family unit. It's that important. You know, it's interesting, and I want to go ahead and get started in this, but it's interesting. You know, there's a saying that a family can make it without a nation, but a nation can't make it without a family. And that's a true statement. Look at John chapter 1. So what defines your family values? And we're going to look at the first one. It's on your outline. What defines your family values? And here it is. The Word defines our values, not the world, for our family. Now, let's read verses 1 and 2. He says, in the beginning, now he's going back to when time started, not when God started, because God is from everlasting. He has no beginning of time. So he's going back to Genesis chapter 1, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word, and by the way, that's Logos, and the Word was with God, Theon, and the Word was God, Theos, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. One of the things that God made that he divinely inspired was the family. If you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the first word in the verse is therefore. And to understand verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2, you need to read what was before it. That's where God had made Eve from a rib from Adam. And he said he brought Eve to Adam. And he said they're going to become one flesh. And then he says in the next verse, he says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You see, the family was instituted by God first in a marriage. That's the family. God created a family unit that would happen between one biological male man and one biological female woman. That's how the family was instituted. And he told them, he says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and go be married, in other words, and be joined to his wife, and then they'll become one flesh. And so what has happened is the family is being redefined by the culture. And so the culture thinks that they have a better idea for the family than God's idea. But whenever the culture accepts the cultural idea for the family, the nation will suffer. But whenever we accept God's idea for the family, the nation will prosper. Many of you have heard of Dr. James Dobson with Focus on the Family. He was being interviewed by Dr. Greg Laurie. He quoted Genesis 2:24, and he was talking about the divinely inspired institution of the family. And Dr. James Dobson goes on to say that attraction of that marriage between a man and a woman has characterized the basic social unit in every continent. He goes on to say it is the foundation. Everything sits on it. Our institutions, our way of life, everything. And if you weaken that foundation, if you redefine it, if you undermine it, and you tear it into its fabric, the whole superstructure will come tumbling down. And that's what's going to happen to us if we are foolish enough to walk away from it. I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. So my encouragement to you as Christians, we accept the Bible's definition of the family unit. Let's return our homes back to God when it comes to the family. You say, well, I'm already living the definition of the family unit in the Bible. But are you passing it down to your children? Are you passing it down to your grandchildren? Are you modeling it? Because see what God does in John chapter 1, the Holy Spirit inspired something that when you understand the first 14 verses of John chapter 1, then all of the exposition of that unfolds in the rest of John. You're reading under these categories in the book of John all of what's summarized in these first 14 verses. As he is being presented as deity, as the Son of God, as the one who brings light, that means truth, that means understanding and discernment and the truth that is in Jesus for salvation. All of those things are brought through the light of Jesus Christ for us and for our homes. And so your home is to be the place by which Christ can be nurtured, by which Christ can be taught, by which the Bible can be taught, so that you can perpetuate two things. You perpetuate through your family, through your home, you perpetuate God's mandated family unit, and you're also perpetuating the truth, the light that is in Jesus Christ, so that it can be taught to your family. I think that the family is highly responsible for helping to win their children to the Lord. Madeline got saved at our house. Caitlin, when she was 6 years old, we carried her to a Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames thing that was being held at Mahia High School. Boy, you don't see that happening in schools anymore. So it's important that you share with your family the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word is to define our values, not the world. Now, Jesus is the Word that became flesh. And the Logos Word is the expression of God. Now, you can go back in the Old Testament and you can see God expressed as the Word in different ways. He's called the angel of the Lord. He's called the Word of the Lord or the Word of God. He's called the wisdom of God. He's called the I Am in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush. He's referred to as the Melchizedek. You can read about that commentary on that in Hebrews chapter 7. And so Jesus is deity. He is the Son of God. And when he was born in the incarnation to identify with you and I, to become 100% human and 100% man, he became the Word being expressed in the Son tangibly. We can touch him. We could see him. We could walk with him. We could hear him. He could work the supernatural miracles at his very word. The same word in Genesis that created the heavens and earth, Jesus has that same word in him because that's his essence as creator, and nothing was made that was not made through him. And so what he has to say about our families and what he has to say about truth is something we better listen to. Because it's that important. Listen to this verse. It's Judges chapter 21, verse 25. He says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Now I want you to think about something, and it's A on your outline. We need to review the lies of the world that's threatening our home today. What lies are threatening your home? I know those lies, they threaten my home. They surely threaten your home. And you say, "I don't know what to do with all those lies." You take those lies and you put them to the backdrop of the truth of Scripture. And you raise your family. And you live your life as a Christian by the dictates of the Word of God, not by the dictates of man. Now, we love all people, but we love the Lord, and He's our King. He's the only one that died for us. Nobody else did. One of these days when I leave this life and I go to heaven, I'm going to be so glad I stuck with the Lord and His ways. I don't want to have any regrets. I have enough of them as it is. And when I get to glory, I want to be able to say, "God, I did everything in my power as a preacher and as a Christian. I did everything in my power to live for you, even when it was not popular in the culture by which I was born in. I did everything in my power to teach my family to love you, to know you, and to live for you when it was not popular in the schools that they attended, the workplaces that they went to. I did it because I want to please you, because you are truth, and everything else has to be weighed in the backdrop of your truth. And your ways work, Lord." You need to write down Proverbs chapter 28, verse 10. There's so many good verses, but we need to review those lies. We need to understand that when we don't have truth and we don't have the revelation of God's Word and we don't hear the understanding of it, we'll be just like they were in Judges. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There's another verse. It's Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods, little g, of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then I love what Joshua says. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Look at verses 4 and 5. He says, in him was life. That's in Jesus. You want to have life? Zoe, the Greek word there. If you want to have life, I'm not talking about just that kind of life. I'm talking about real life. Then you're going to find it in the truth of Scripture through Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word is katalambano. The first part of that, kato or kata, it's literally talking about darkness. Can't overcome it. Can't stop it. He's saying it cannot be overcome. What does he mean by that? When the light of Jesus comes into your home through the family, here Jesus came in the incarnation. He was born. He brought light. In our homes, by faith, with the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, as we teach the truths of God in our home and we live those truths in our home, what happens is now, Matthew 5:16, now you are being the light of the world because Jesus is the light of the world, John 8:12. Now you are a light because he lives in your heart. Now your family has a lamp burning, and the husband is like a savior, so to speak. He loves his family. He loves his wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. And so now we are reflecting John chapter 1 out of our home, and now God has a blessing upon our home. Why? Because our home is now become a model of the gospel, because we haven't messed it up. We hadn't mixed it up, made it wrong. You know, last night, y'all ever get hungry for chocolate pudding? Me too. So last night, I was on the phone praying with Mike Barker. I don't know what I said, but I said something after we got through praying. I said the word jail, and it made me think about jailing of chocolate pudding. I'd already had my shower and was in bed. I got up, got dressed, went to Brookshire's before they closed because I wanted chocolate pudding. So I called Teresa knowing she's fixing to be in bed. Teresa, would you mind, since you're such a sweet, wonderful wife, such a great mother, I couldn't have a better wife. I'm at Brookshire's. Would you mind making me some chocolate pudding tonight? Because I just don't want to be messing with a little whisk. If it was up to me, I'd cut the handle off that whisk, stick it in a cordless drill, and we'd have that chocolate pudding made just like that. When I get home, I hand her the box, and she starts making it, and she says, Bruce, it's so easy. All you got to do is so many cups of milk, and you just whisk it, and she's like, you can make this. Well, I got to reading the box. I wanted to make sure she was right, and I discovered something on the box. You know what it says on this box? No, pudding will not set if made with soy milk. Now, that intrigued my thoughts. So I had to Google, why won't it set with soy milk? And I found out that milk has a protein, and 80% of that protein is in cow's milk called casein. And casein protein helps milk to gel. It's what causes the cheeses, the fats, the curds, all that other stuff. And soy milk doesn't contain that. So if you put soy milk in there, you're not going to get the intended gelled chocolate pudding because it won't work. And it occurred to me when I read that, that's what's wrong with the families today. That's why a same-sex marriage cannot work properly. It can't gel. Because it's not casein. It's not made to. It takes some casein. We need to make sure that our families are gelled, are mixed according to the plan of the one who made it and put it together and assembled it, which is the Lord. And so when we do that, things will work. Think about this. He says, in him was the life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That means when Jesus, now this will encourage your family and your home. So when Jesus came to this earth, darkness tried to stop it. You remember Herod had tried to have him killed and all those babies that died trying to get Jesus? I mean, darkness is doing everything it can to keep Jesus from surviving. But darkness could not overcome it. Evil could not stop what the light was doing. In your home, if you'll create it and do it as the Bible says, and you'll get married the way the Bible says, men to women, women to men, and you'll raise your kids with the light turned on in your home of Jesus Christ and the Scriptures, then what will happen is the darkness will not overcome your home. Because your home is being brought up with the light turned on, And where the light is turned on in the home by faith, what happens is Satan gets to that home, and it's kind of like back in Exodus. He sees the blood on the doorpost. He sees this is a family by faith trusting in the Lord, and I can't get in them, I can't get under them, and I can't get in their skin because they got light turned on in their life. Their kids are growing up with the light turned on in their brain. They're able to discern what they hear. They're able to make the right decisions, and the light is turned on in my home, and because the light is turned on in my home, darkness is not able to mess it up. That's why we need to follow the gospel mandate for the home. I like what W.A. Criswell says. He says, you can take the gun away from the murderer, and he is still a murderer in his heart. You can take the bottle away from the drunkard, and he is still a drunkard in his heart. You can take the needle away from the addict, and he is still an addict in his heart. You can take the prostitute away from the adulterer, and he is still an adulterer in his heart. But you take sin away from the sinner, and he is a new creation. He is a new man, because Jesus is the light of salvation. I came across this poem a while back that says, O come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has shined upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. So you ask yourself, how do we return to the light? How do we return our homes to the Lord? What's the purpose of it? And I'm going to give you these three pretty quick. This is Roman numeral 2 on your outline, and you're going to see it right here in the book of John. Returning the home back to God means aligning my home to God's purposes. And that all unfolds verse 6 to verse 14. Now here they are, A, B, and C. I want to give them all to you at once. In your home, this is what it should look like. Scripturally, leading my family to faith in Christ. You'll see that in verse 12. For them that received him, he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. We should be teaching them. B, spiritually leading my family to live by faith in Christ. You see, you can come to Christ and you can be born again. But now you got to be taught how to obey Christ and how to live for him by faith. I wish the things I've learned as an older Christian, I wish when I was a brand new Christian, I had been taught about that, about the power of faith. The power of believing the Word of God. The power of faith is so powerful. So spiritually, I want to lead my family to live by faith. I'm going to tell them. We tell our kids. Caitlin can tell you. Madeline can tell you. We tell our kids. We're trusting God for this. We're trusting God for that. And then God answers those prayers, and our kids get to be a part of it. They get to be a part of a lot of those prayers when we're praying, going up and down the highways, and drives them nuts because sometimes I forget to prelude the prayer with, excuse me, I'm fixing to pray. And I just start praying, so they got to go to turning radios down and stop their conversating and everything until the prayer is finished, because you got to strike the fire while the iron is hot. And when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about something, don't wait on the Holy Spirit. He's God. He deserves more reverence than that. When he's speaking to your heart, I don't care what you're doing. You go into prayer right then, and you start doing business with God. Don't worry about what's being played on the radio, what's on TV, what you're doing. Now, if you're driving, don't just shut your eyes and have a wreck. But what I'm saying is do business with God while he's working in your heart at that moment, because he deserves that reverence. Don't put him off. He doesn't deserve it. Look at verse 13. We're almost done. Who were born not of blood. Now, we are born by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, but we're not born by genealogical blood. In other words, I can't become a Christian just because my mother is a Christian. I got to be born of the supernatural blood, the atoning blood, but I'm not automatically a Christian just because my family's a Christian. So not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. The flesh can never born itself. That's where you think, well, I'll do good works, or I'll just be a good person. Nor of the will of man, but of God. That's the only way to be born again, is to be born of God. And so we teach our kids the importance of spiritually living by faith in the one who left heaven to save us, that pursued us, that convicted us of our sins and said, you need me. And when we receive him, we become children of God. And children, what do? They want to mimic their parents. You say, what do we do about the transgender issues in America today? What about those that are males claiming to be females, females claiming to be males? Here's what you can do as a family. This is very important. Dads, your children need you to be dads. It's important that our sons get to do things with their dads, work on stuff. Let them help you outside. Teach them to use those things. It's okay to be masculine, boys. You be masculine. The world will tell you you don't need to be masculine. Well, I got news for you, world. They need to be masculine. I want my daughters to marry men, not wimps. I want men, protectors, people that can work on the house, that can get a shovel and dig a hole, that can operate a wheelbarrow without reading the instructions. Moms, teach your daughters to be females. Take them shopping. Teach them how to use a whisk making chocolate pudding. Let those girls see the feminine side of life. Help them to be feminine. Help them to see that God created them beautifully just the way they are, and He didn't make a mistake. Boys, God did not make a mistake when He created you. He's created you to be a man, and we want to help you to be a man here at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We've got welding machines back there, cutting torches, tractors, tractors galore. We got gardens that need hold. We got all these things, and we will teach you how to be a man. It's okay. The world will tell you just the opposite, but the world is wrong. They're wrong. And here's the last one. Returning the home back to God means aligning my home to God's purposes societally. Leading my family, this is love, y'all. Leading my family to reflect Christ, not the culture. I want the world to see something different in the church. I don't want the church to start looking like the world. I want the world to look at the church and say, I want what they have, because what I'm doing is soy milk in the pudding and it ain't gelling. I want what they have. I want that loving husband and wife. I want those kids growing up the way God made them. It just looks a whole lot better the way you're doing it than the way I'm doing it. And I want to mimic that. And then we love them. I love people, regardless if they're homosexual, regardless if they're transgender, regardless if they're white, black, blue, red, or green. I love everybody. And every single soul is valuable to God, very valuable to God. And it's not my job to say, you're okay, just live the way you want to. I live the way I want to. You live the way you want to. That is not okay. And they'll come to you and they'll say, what's made your life so happy, so joyful, so different? And you can, with a smile on your face, say, it's because let me teach you something in the book of John. Let's turn to chapter 1. Because I'm praying for you and I love you. And it's not politicians that have deceived you. It's not colleges that have deceived you, even though they're doing it. It's not none of these things. It's the devil working through them that has deceived you. You have been deceived by the enemy, by the devil, and he came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come to give you life, and he can forgive you, and he can change you, and he can set you on the right path. Isn't that true? Amen. We need to invade darkness with light. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Father, we want to be families not ashamed of the traditional nuclear family. Not ashamed. We shouldn't have to apologize for who we are in Christ. We're not ashamed. In fact, we glory in Christ. And you may be in here this morning, and perhaps through this message you've realized your home is not, there's not a lamp burning. You've got Christ in your heart, but the only time your kids see Christ in your heart is when you show up at church. They never see your Bible open. They never hear you pray. They're confused because you're living two lives. And you've got to repent of that, and you've got to say, God, I'm changing that today. I mean, it ain't starting tomorrow. I'm changing it today. Today. My kids will know I love Jesus today. You may be in here today and perhaps God has spoke to your heart that you don't know Him as Savior. And you say, I don't even have the light burning in my own heart. I don't even have Jesus in my heart. I've tried everything to change my life. I can't do it. You see, that's the whole problem. You can't do it. But you got to come to Jesus just as you are. You say, I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm not changing myself. You got to change me. I'm coming to you just as I am. I'm just not even going to make any excuses. That means without one plea. Lord, I'm coming to you, and here I am. I lay my life before you, Lord, with all of its sin, with all of its mess ups. And God, I know you love me. You value my soul. And I ask you, Lord, to save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart today, right now. I trust you. Would you do that today? Watch your life change. It's going to change forever. You may be in here this morning, the Lord has spoke to your heart and says, today's the day. This is the day I want you to join Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. You can do that today. Lord, do business with our hearts as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.